part of the committee, legal team of DOC, post office. I've seen the CEO and your team, chairperson of ICASA and other councillors. I'm not sure whether I've got the executive here. I've seen SABC Telecom. They are also here. Media is always here, even if they are not here, because the transcript of the records, they do get the menu. But we are all of you are welcome. We are going to start, but we are not going to start with the post office for now, because to deal with the issue of the post office, we'll need to take decisions today. Because in terms of the program, next week on the 15th, we are finalizing post office. I'm sure we had the bill for a long time. 15th next week, we are going to formal deliberation of the post office bill, and then we conclude on the bill, then we'll be ready to go through parliament processes and so on. But we'll come back to the bill when we've got enough members here, so that we take that decision. For now, what we can do, because time is moving, is to deal with the issue of the performance of councillors, which supports to the PM, the performance management system for the chairperson and councillors of ICASA, which is supposed to be led by DOC. Maybe DOC in future we must just try to strike a balance, because we are learning in the hard way from the way we have dealt with the post office, the post bank, and the post office bill. That sometimes to totally put aside the entities does not help. In fact, it delays processes, because they will always find their way to throw in whatever they want and then take us back. Must find a way of working together, or yourself working together, whoever is involved from your side, so that we don't go to and from and so on. I'm just talking from the experience of the post bank and the post office bill. It has been a very painful experience where you go this way, you go that way, go this way, you go that way, and so on. So I hope with the issue of the performance management system, we'll be able to minimize such things and so on. But acting DG, DDG, we must not be in a hurry. Your term will come to act as a DG. Now you're acting as a DDG. Acting DDG, you can take us through.
Can you get somebody to assist us here? Yes, Chairperson.
Policy leader in ICT. No. I'm joking.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. Today we'll be making a presentation on the performance management system for ICASA Chairperson and other councillors of ICASA. I think before I make the presentation, I just want to make the following observations. In May last year, the department came to the Portfolio Committee to make a presentation on the PMS of ICASA. The committee made input and recommendations, which we have looked at when we developed this performance management system that we are presenting today. Chairperson, I want to assure you that we have looked at the recommendations that we have made the last time, and also due to the fact that ICASA is not, and the DOC is not, the relationship is not that of an employee and employer kind of relationship. We have taken note of all of those things. So we are presenting a system which takes into account what the Portfolio Committee have said in May last year. I just want to apologize. I think the DG was to be here with us. Unfortunately, she couldn't join us due to other commitments. With me presenting on this matter is Ms. Mapenzin Pakele, who is the Chief Director of Economic Policy in the policy unit. I will touch on the introduction. On the introduction, and then we look at some of the principles or the things that we have considered in the development of the PMS for the chairperson and other councillors of ICASA, and the objectives of the PMS, the development of the key indicators and targets, measuring and evaluating the performance of ICASA Council, constitution of the evaluation panel, roles and responsibilities of various role players in implementing the PMS, and then the way forward. As part of introduction, Section 6A of the ICASA Act of 2000 is amended. Requires that the minister, in consultation with the National Assembly, must establish a performance management system for the chairperson and other councillors of ICASA. Such a PMS must set key performance indicators, set measurable performance targets, as well as set a procedure to measure and review performance of the ICASA Council at least once a year. In developing this framework, we were guided by inter alia, the principles and the provisions of as stipulated in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, in particular Section 192, the ICASA Act 2000 as amended, the Broadcasting Act of 1999, as well as the ECA of 2005, and the Postal Services Act of 1998. We have looked at the objectives of all of this legislation with a view to ascertain the objectives of ICASA in terms of what it's supposed to do going forward. And this PMS is applicable to the chairperson and other councillors of ICASA. What have we considered in developing the PMS? Our point of departure in developing the PMS is that ICASA is an independent jurisdiction as established in terms of the law. ICASA Council operates on a principle of collective decision making. It is not the decision of one councillor which counts, but the collective decision making of the regulator. And also that government as a whole has adopted an outcome based approach which seeks to ensure that limited resources available to government and its entities are used in a manner that achieves the desired outcomes. I think the point that we're making here is that ICASA operates within a system. And that system is a government system with its objectives and so on. Therefore, ICASA's responsibility should be towards supporting the objectives of government as outlined in the outcomes that have been adopted. The objective of the PMS for the chairperson and other councillors is to monitor and evaluate the performance of the ICASA Council and also to ensure that we comply with the ICASA Act as stipulated. The National Assembly must ensure that the CASA Council perform in accordance with the set goals and targets, and that such goals and targets are consistently being met in an efficient, effective, and measurable manner. That the PMS will be used to monitor and determine if what is taking place and done by CASA is what is what has been planned as part of the strategic plan, as it were. And I must say, Chairperson, what we are presenting here is a consensus between the department and the CASA, you know, in terms of developing this document. Development of the key performance indicators. What we have done here, Chairperson, is that we have looked at the start plan of ICASA in terms of what its objectives are, with a view to develop performance targets for the 11-12 financial year. So the targets which are in the ICASA start plan are the ones which are going to inform this performance management system. And the objectives which are in the CASA start plan are the objectives which are, which has informed this performance management system that we are presenting. And in this regard, the key performance indicators are measurable, relevant, objective, and precise. And Section 6A of the CASA Act requires that the minister determine the targets in the PMS after consulting with the CASA for each financial year. The targets which are here are only for 11-12 financial year. Each year, the minister will therefore determine new targets for each particular year. So these targets are will change as money is made available to ICASA and so on. As soon as the key performance indicators are set, ICASA is expected to develop an annual work plan, which will therefore need to be presented to the minister, and it must be commensurate with the resources and capacity of ICASA. I think this is the point that the portfolio committee have made the last time ICASA was here, that you should be able to do what your budget allows. Now, I will be presenting on the I think in your document in page page 5 of the document, there is a table there which clearly indicates the key priorities of ICASA, key performance indicators and performance targets of ICASA, as it were. And in the document that we have, there are many targets and indicators which are there. But what we have done with ICASA, in line with what the committee have decided, is to prioritize some of these targets and indicators so that they are commensurate with the capacity and the resources that exist within ICASA. ICASA has got 8 strategic objectives. Number one, to ensure effective participation by HDI in the industry. The performance targets there, that report on ownership trends and structure for the 50% of all licenses in the sector, it was delivered. We are saying 50% here to look at all the operators within the ICT sector. The indicator thereof will be to monitor ownership trends and audit ownership structures in the sector. Strategic performance target number 2, monitor impact of ownership structure in diversity of broadcasting, with regard to content, ensure licensing and improve sector HDI profile in the broadcasting sector. Completed inquiry process on ownership of persons with disabilities, women and youth within the ICT sector. In this regard, the indicator will be regulations are developed, documented historical disadvantage individual compliance with regulations that are in place, and also develop a long-term HDI rollout plan by ICASA. So under strategic objective 1, ICASA has prioritized to deliver the 4 targets as I've indicated, you know, in the strategic objective number two is to ensure provision of broadband services. By the target here by CASA, number one, by September 2011, broadband colloquium with stakeholders, a regular strategy for broadband. And I must say in here, we will be working with the CASA because as the department, we're also planning some of the things that we need to do around the colloquium. Number two, establish an CASA and industry sector, a nationwide broadband committee, and the functional joint working committee for broadband is established as an indicator. Finalize and publish local loop and bundling framework by November 2011. Publish local loop and bundling framework done as an indicator. By March 2012, identify possible bands for additional 500 megahertz spectrum for broadband wireless access. Indicator the report on spectrum for broadband. Promote the sharing of infrastructure for the provision of broadband services. Framework for infrastructure sharing between licensees in order to provide broadband services. Number six, improve coordination of infrastructure initiative between local and provincial government and broadband intergovernmental implementation committee. Indicated the framework for coordinating infrastructure at local government levels is developed. Identify hindrances to broadband penetration and propose corrective measures. Reduce barriers for broadband penetration as an indicator how it is going to be measured. Under strategic objective number three, there are about six targets. Strategic objective is to optimize the use of radio frequency spectrum to support widest variety of services. Number one, approval of the radio frequency migration plan, radio frequency migration strategy. Indicator there will be reviewed radio frequency plan and completed radio frequency migration strategy plan by 31st March 2012. The target number two, publish replanning and of the broadcasting bands to optimize DTT. Formation of the Joint Spectrum Advisory Committee in terms of the DTT regulations. Public inquiry for the relocation of digital dividend. The indicator there will be managed implementation for the broadcasting frequency plan from analog to digital migration. Number three, licensing of wireless broadband spectrum. Indicator, all available spectrum for wireless broadband is assigned and utilized as a catalyst for two countries' broadband objectives. Number four, develop a 10-year roadmap for spectrum. Indicator, a colloquium on the future use of spectrum is held. Report on the comprehensive use of spectrum. Indicator, complete spectrum audit. The last one, the last target will be development of spectrum assignment dashboard and the indicator of the ability to view assignment data. Under strategic objective number four, the performance target then number one will be report on consumer satisfaction. Indicator there will be consumer satisfaction index. Number two, consumer programs. And then indicator there will be consumer advocacy that the CASA is going to be embarking upon. Performance target number three, improve consumer complaints redress. Indicator there will be consumer complaints redress within 30 days. We want to emphasize on this matter because compliance and enforcement as an activity of the CASA should be very key in terms of addressing some of the challenges that the consumers are experiencing. Number four, report and monitor accessibility of quality of service by licenses to consumers. Indicator will monitor accessibility and the quality of service provided by licenses to consumers. Engage the National Consumer Commission on consumer protection matters. Indicator there will be conduct discussion with the NCC. I believe this has already begun. The last one, ensure compliance with consumer protection regulations, including increasing accessibility initiatives for persons with disabilities. And the CASA here will be measured when they prescribe consumer protection regulations in terms of the ECA. Objective number five has got only two targets. It talks to the promotion of development of public, community, and commercial broadcasting services within the context of digital migration. The target here will be review existing regulatory frameworks, regime for broadcasting services, and related policies to reflect the new evolving digital environment. The indicator there will be framework for broadcasting in the digital era, taking into account the three license group: public broadcasting, commercial broadcasting, and community broadcasting. Number two, review of digital dividend for allocation of identified services. The indicator of implementation of the digital terrestrial television and digital dividend review recommendations. Under strategic objective number six, which is to ensure compliance with legislation and regulation, compliance procedure manual by June will be developed by CASA. It will be published, indicator publish a compliance framework for all licensees. Publish universal service and access obligation framework document and universal service and access regulations. Indicator will be reviewed, universal service and obligations framework and gazetted definition and list of underserviced areas as required by the law. Develop and publish annual compliance report by March 2012. Indicator they will publish report on compliance with legislation and regulations. Publish annual compliance reports, reports on party political broadcast during local and provincial election, during local government elections 2011 and national government election 2014. Strategic objective number seven, strengthen and modernize the CASA. Only three targets have been prioritized here. Number one, complete the proposed funding model and engage stakeholders. This is a project that we are going to be working together with ICASA. Indicator there is that establish a self-funding model for ICASA. Number two, automated regulatory and business processes integrated talent management system. Indicator integrated management system for ICASA. Number three, completed review and implementation of the new organizational structure. Review organizational structure to align with the strategy as an indicator. And the last strategic objective is to promote competition. And here, only three targets. Number one, determine the competitiveness of the postal broadcasting service and electronic communication network service, licenses, or any other market. The indicator there will be reports on the competitiveness of the market. Number two, targets set for the new players having access to spectrum. Indicator there, ensure a fair spectrum distribution. Number three, develop an annual report on aspects of communication infrastructure. The indicator will be increase network rollout and provide government, industry, and consumers with clear indication of the state of health of the communication infrastructure. I must say here, Honorable Chairperson and members, that this is as it appears in the staff plan of ICASA, having reprioritized based on its capacity and the budget that has been allocated, as it were. Just want to go back to the presentation. Now, the question that comes to say, once ICASA have done all of these things, how will we measure ICASA in terms of where they've done what they're supposed to do, or not? It is for this reason that there must be a robust and critical mechanism on how we should be able to evaluate the performance of ICASA. This is necessary if government and the National Assembly and the ICASA Council is to engage constructively in collaboration of resources to maximize the achievement of outcomes as outlined by government. I think the same point that we're making, that ICASA operates within a government system, it must be able to support the outcomes as determined by government. Certain points regarding the PMS include the following: that the PMS will take into account the issues of compliance and time frames. The turnaround times of ICASA, I think, needs serious improvement with regard to that. The rating system to be developed by the evaluation panel as contemplated in Section 64A of the ICASA Act should link directly with the targets and key performance indicators as stipulated in the annual work plan. The PMS will be linked to the authority's financial year, meaning that the PMS will only be applicable from the 1st of April until 31st March of each and every financial year. It is our desire that the PMS should be signed between the chairperson and the minister by 1st April of each year. As soon as the National Assembly approves the PMS, individual performance agreements must be signed between the minister and all other councillors. The evaluation panel report must be submitted to the National Assembly for consideration. obviously the evaluation panel would have made recommendations in terms of what therefore needs to be done, and then the National Assembly will therefore consider such recommendations and provide a report to the Minister for implementation. How will this evaluation panel be constituted, and who needs to serve in that portfolio, in that evaluation panel? That the evaluation panel will propose that it consists of 5 members, one of which must be the designated chairperson, and the process for the choosing of the evaluation panel should be done through a public nomination process, and the panel must have the necessary skills, knowledge, and qualification experience to serve in the panel, and understanding of the ICT sector. And we are proposing that the evaluation panel should be constituted in the following manner. We have taken this view, Chairperson, having looked at the previous presentation made this, you know, to this PCC, that the people who need to serve here needs to be independent. There must not be anybody from the industry, so that they are able to give an objective view on the performance of the ICASA Chairperson and the councillors. We are proposing that a retired High Court judge sit in the panel, a representative from the Office of the Auditor General, because of their independence, to look at all financial issues, respected experts from the academia, a representative from organized consumer group, and an independent consultant or expert in the electronic communications sector, broadcasting or postal from outside the country, if it's possible. That's what we are proposing as the composition of the evaluation panel. That will be able to evaluate. So obviously they will use various methods. They can conduct stakeholder survey to get the views from the people and the public, so that they can be able to assist in terms of coming to an objective assessment of how the council and other the council in general has performed. The evaluation panel must not have a conflict of interest while serving in this capacity. So we are confident, I think, that what we are proposing is the people in the panel will not constitute a conflict of interest, and the minister shall, in concert with the National Assembly, designate one of the members as the chairperson of the evaluation panel, and the minister shall do a call for nomination in the national newspaper to nominate such members. What will be the roles and responsibility of various players? There's a minister having a role to play in this process. There's a National Assembly having a role to play in this process. The chairperson of ICASA Council has got a role, and also ICASA councillors themselves, they've got a role to play. What will be their role? The minister must put in place the PMS of the ICASA chairperson and other councillors of ICASA in consultation with the National Assembly. Must enter into individual performance agreement with chairperson and other councillors. This is something that must be done every year. Must ensure that the working panel is constituted, and at least once a year, the performance of the ICASA council is evaluated. Must implement the findings of the National Assembly following consideration of the performance evaluation panel report of the evaluation panel. The role of the chairperson of ICASA council must provide overall leadership to the council and manage the activities of the councillors, meaning that the chairperson should be able to allocate, having a look at the objectives, the targets, and the indicators, allocate responsibilities to councillors. I think the chairperson can elaborate on that, on the process and the methodology, how they allocate responsibilities to the councillors. He must also ensure that the annual work plan is developed and tabled before the minister for approval, and the annual work plan will underpin each councillor's performance agreement with the minister. This is the annual plan is a document which will be developed each and every year, which will need to be tabled and agreed to by the minister. But for the purposes of the portfolio committee, we are presenting only the targets and the indicators as required by the law. But all those indicators and targets will therefore need to be, there must be activities that are underpinning all of those in terms of what each councillor is going to be doing, as it were. The ICASA Council must enter into permanent agreement with the minister by first of each and every year, must participate and attend performance evaluation meetings, consider the recommendation of the evaluation with regard to performance improvement. It could be that the recommendation is that there is a need to improve on the performance of a particular counselor. The council itself, you know, together with the chairperson, must ensure that such recommendations are implemented. If it means that a counselor will need to be put under a PDP, personal development plan, that needs to be put in place so that that counselor is able to be with speech in terms of what needs to be done within the council. Evaluation panel must evaluate the performance of the chairperson and other counselors, must ensure that the evaluation process is fair, objective, and honest. Terms of office of this evaluation panel, we are proposing that it must be 3 years. This is in line with the MTSI process, you know, it is 3 years. Members of the evaluation might be reappointed by the minister after consultation with the National Assembly. And the remuneration of members of the will be determined by the minister if there's going to be any of you know, such remuneration to the members of the panel. National Assembly provides oversight role in respect of the monitoring of ICASA Council, you know, in terms of the oversight role when ICASA comes and presents the start plan and the quarterly reports and so on. It will be form part of that assessment and the evaluation that needs to be done by the National Assembly. Approve members of the evaluation prior to their appointment, because we have proposed that the minister must consult with the National Assembly so that they can have that concurrence on the people that needs to serve in there. And must consider the evaluation report or the evaluation permit and thereafter make findings that must be given effect by the minister, meaning that the minister must implement recommendations coming from the National Assembly regarding the performance management system. The way forward that we're proposing here, when approved by the National Assembly, the PMS will be implemented on an immediate basis. I've said that this we thought that this needs to be implemented from the 1st of April each and every year. Once approved by the National Assembly, at any given time, within a month after that, performance agreements of the chairperson and other councillors should have been concluded with the minister. And the minister should sign individual performance agreements with the chairperson and other councillors, and a process to appoint the members of the organ panel will commence, as stipulated in the narrative document that we have presented. Honorable Chair, this is the end of the presentation. We believe that we in this document we have addressed the concerns which were raised you know, in the portfolio committee sometime in May last year, and we believe that we've got a system that for a start, I think it can begin to ensure that we are able to manage and evaluate performance of ICASA. Obviously, in any system, this is a start. It has not been done anywhere. We couldn't find any precedent elsewhere in the world where a concept, you know, is being evaluated. So this is a start. I think will improve as we move along, but I think it's something that I think could be able to give the portfolio committee and the minister in terms of understanding what ICASA needs to do given its capacity, challenges, and resources, as it were. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting DDG. Members, that was the presentation around the PMS. It's open for discussion. I'm not sure that ICASA, do you have anything to add? As we are presenting, we are saying the chairperson might add one or two so that we can take questions.
Honorable Chair, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, we are very grateful with the cooperation that you have rendered us to think through this whole process. I must say that the cooperation that we have had with the DOC in coming up with this PMS, it was a collaborative effort from the very start. We made our input, and I think it's an unfolding drama along those lines. We as councillors, we've already discussed, you know, the areas of responsibilities that are allocated to various councillors. We have method of assigning responsibilities that is also pronounced. Now the performing management system, if approved, will sort of coronate all those elements. Now after that, I think ICASA will then embark on the eighth objective, that is the one of modernizing ICASA. And the chair in the objective speech, budget speech, alluded to that ICASA needs to re-engineer itself, and we shall do so, and as soon as we do that, we will come and have consultation with you, so that we must not do it and then later on come to you. It will be a process where you will also be involved. And it is out of that re-engineering of ICASA that the review of councillors, how many councillors should be on board, whether they are 10, 12, 15, the number game can only come only after we have restructured and modernized, ICASA. So that process is now an ongoing process, and we'll keep you informed as it moves forward. We thank you for the cooperation that you have given us and the guidance that you have given us, and we shall continue working closely with DOC in establishing this PMS system. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members open for discussion. Welcome Member Ndabeni and Member Michael. Okay. Honorable Michael. Gagarne.
Chair, firstly, my sincerest apologies. I did phone Tim Vincorsi and let him know that I was late, so I hope he passed on my apologies to you. I believe you were slightly concerned as to where I was, but I did phone and let them know that my 6 o'clock flight actually landed up taking off later than the 7 o'clock flight, which is always a worrying thing. Chair, I want to tell ICASA one thing. Thank you very much for having all your documentation to us in time. We've had time to go through it, and it's a refreshing change to find a document that's exceptionally well written, easy to understand, and given to us with enough time to go through the document completely. And I think already that is a great performance management system that you've got going. So congratulations for doing that, and a thank you also.
Kekan?
Yeah. The one question again, just on the objectives. There are 8 objectives there. Like last time when we discussed, we requested that you prioritize. I know that for the performance management system, the theory there and the expert would always say limit them at least at the most to 6, because anything over that seems to overload your performance management system. So are you confident you're going to cope with that? Because this is important. If you take too much and try and do too much, you'll end up, not doing as well as you wish to. But if you take enough and put into your mouth enough that you can chew and swallow, then you'll perform very well, and the rest you can do in phases as your time unfolds. So I'm just saying the theory would be very strict that don't do objectives more than 6. That seems to overload the system. But if you are confident you're going to cope, that's fine. I was just pointing it out because it is there in theory, and maybe your experts on performance management system who are advising you, I wonder what they said about it. The last point, Chair. You said a very good thing that you want to work within the system of the government, though you are independent. And this is a point you've raised before about, I see you've got consumer services there. About this, and that there's a loud voice in this country about job creation and how you're going to assist about that. communicate. You see, if you do a public review and ask whether people are satisfied, I mean, entertainment is good. They might say yes. But on the other hand, we are under pressure as a government, as a nation, to create jobs. Now, how are you going to measure that? Where is it fitting in? Is it under consumer satisfaction? But specifically, how do you check it out that your structures are communicating, informing and educating and helping this situation? Thanks, Jeff.
The next member has disappeared. Who was Nikki van der Berg? Honorable Kevin.
Thanks, Chair. Let me represent Honorable van der Berg. All right. Let me also echo the words by my honorable colleague, Honorable Michael, in thanking ICASA for finally presenting what we've been expecting, working together with the DOC. And again, going back to the DOC, hoping that this performance management is going to apply also to other parasitas. Because I just can't see a way that would assist or lead to a functional or healthy coordination by the department if you don't have the same formula with other parasitas. Nevertheless, my question of clarity goes to your evaluation committee. You said you are going to advertise. I take it that you are going to advertise internationally, because I see on the people that will be forming part of the panel, you also have a space for an international expert on broadcasting or whatever. If you can just clarify me, how are you going to make sure that that consultant or expert is not involved in any business with this country? Because if he is involved or she is involved, then it means she's not independent. Thank you, sir.
Honorable van der Berg.
Hello. Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairperson, and all the members of the Portfolio Committee and all the department members. I think there's something wrong here. Yeah, that sounds better. Chairperson, as you know, we fought a lot in this committee of portfolio and communications. And I'm very honest with you, I wish the discussion that we heard now, I wish it took place in April, May 2009. It's actually when it should have happened. But I'm actually not a fighter, I'm a lover. So I don't want to fight with anyone. You can actually see I look like a lover and not a fighter. So, but I hope that all the suggestions made this morning will be implemented as soon as possible. You know, it's very good to have all those documents and, you know, you must do this and just ask, have you done that? That's the only thing. And the moment when we reach a certain space where all the consumers, all the communities, everyone applied for a license, ICASA, when all the people are satisfied, ICASA is a well-running organization, then we have achieved something. So I urge the Department of Communication and the Minister to put this in place as in 5 minutes from now. They must be already doing this. And I think the chairperson know, I've got some complaints from a community, applied for a license and everything, but now there's something wrong with my a parliament computer. It crashed, so I can't send through all the emails to the chairperson of ICASA. But this is only one example. The concerns of the people. Why do they have to wait for 6, 8, 9, 12 months before they get clarification. And as the one guy, he's from Brazdorp, I think it's Overberg, he wrote to me, the people, the community, they are so excited to have their own radio stations. They are working hard. They are they try to make ends meet. But now they have to wait and wait and wait. And then, as you all know, it's human to sort of lose your enthusiasm and everything. So when all this is done, I think then ICASA is on the right track. And this portfolio committee will go down in history that could do something for the people of South Africa. So all the state-owned entities, we all know in which trouble the SABC and call up the name, Sentech and ICASA, things hasn't been done correctly in the past. So we have to turn it around. If we don't do it now, we are losing. We are losing big time, and all of us know that. Because in this very important time frame, with everything that's going to happen in the ICT sector and everything. So I urge everyone, the computer department and all the entities, just to, as Nike said in the ad, just do it. That's the only thing. Just do it. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you, Honorable Van der Berg.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also join other members in congratulating DOC and ICASA for good work done. Indeed, this documentation represents all the views of the committee for last year. But in regard to the strategic objective, I think I would be more comfortable if on this template you have a separate template. I think it will be the fourth one. That only deals with the time frames. Because if you look into a template, for example, in strategic objective 2, you are saying by September 2011 is a time frame on its own, and it's in the column of the output. And on other pages, the same time frame is in the performance indicator. So there's that. If you can just add that column. And on strategic objective 1, number 3, there you are saying develop regulations that address the empowerment of the youth women, because there's no time frames. How are we going to do oversight on that? Because we have to go with the same pace with you. But if there are no time frames, then we won't be able to do our work. If you can just put that column and put time frame on each indicator. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Sir. You can respond before I take another round of questions.
No, thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I think some of the questions which were raised, I think my colleagues from ICASA will be able to respond to the question around the 8 objectives vis-a-vis what they can, is it what they can chew? Is it too much? I think ICASA will be able to respond to that question. Chairperson, if you can respond to the first question, then I'll deal with the rest of the questions.
Thank you, Honorable Kekani, for asking that question. But I just want to say unequivocally, the 8 is what we came up with after a huge 2-day workshop. We started with about 32 of them, and then we were able to work them to that number. And it's not just a magic number. It's something that is definitely within our reach, and we will try and honor those 8 objectives religiously. When it comes to licensing complaints, yes, you are right. We want to make sure that we expedite that process, but those are what you would call critical incidents. If you take the number of the people that are licensed and there's no complaints, you can see that it far outweighs one. But again, on that same vein, if there is still one complaining, it's enough for ICASA to be alarmed, and we shall certainly attend, you know, to that. One of the areas that I think ICASA is lacking right now is to do impact studies. And that, I think, when our budget, you know, starts, you know, permitting that, when we have moved into getting ICASA to be self-funding, those are the things that I think we must begin to implement. And I think the Honorable Chairman's speech, budget speech, mentioned a lot of things that ICASA would like to do like yesterday, but because of the budget constraints, we had to, as I said, you know, prioritize what we are doing, and what you got is just the prioritized version. But we would like to go beyond that, and I know Honorable Ndabeni is going to push that we get more money somewhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Colleagues have to speak to. They don't come from Johannesburg not to speak here. So.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to address the question raised by Honourable Member Kekana. We had to delete a consumer satisfaction study that we were going to undertake because of budget limitations. But it was initially in our strategic plan for this particular financial year. So that was the restriction. We would have wanted to do it so that we have a full understanding of where the gaps are in the work that we do. And then on the issue of the delays and the turnaround, in the previous financial year, we had 3,200 complaints submitted to the authority. I think the question came from the DA. We had 3,200. We responded to 2,300. Unfortunately, we do have capacity restraints, and we have subsequently set up an alternative dispute solution mechanism to complement the work of the CCC so that the complaints are addressed at a faster pace. So we hope that that internal structure, the Alternative Dispute Solution Committee, would manage to address some of the issues sooner. Thank you.
No, thank you, colleagues from ICASA, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think the next question, I just want to add on the question that talks to the issue of job creation and so on. I think when I was presenting, I think in the document itself, we have said that we recognize that the government has adopted an outcome-based approach. And in that regard, there are 12 outcomes. ICASA's role and responsibility should be able to support that there's an inclusive economic growth. So in essence, the work of ICASA in the main around job creation falls under outcome number 4, which talks to creating decent employment through inclusive economic growth. In there are a number of interventions that ICASA will need to provide a regulatory framework that supports the reduction on the barriers to entry, the local loop is unbundled, and so on, so that you can spur economic growth, you know, as it were. So on that note, I think, you know, that has been built within the objectives that we have presented today here. I think on the question from Honorable Ndabeni around that this system, is it something that I think, you know, can we consider to apply it within all our parastatals? Of course, you know, that should be the direction that we need to take, so that we're able to ensure that all our parastatals are able to deliver according to their mandate in support of government objectives, you know, as it were. So it's something I think that Honorable that we'll look at as we go back to the to Pretoria, to the office, and say, can't we use this, you know, for all our participants? It's something I think we'll need to consider going forward, as it were. The issue of the evaluation committee internationally, how we're going to get those such people. Our view here is that we participate in international institutions of multilateral governance. For example, the ITU, the UPU, and so on. Perhaps we may want to look at getting somebody from those institutions to be able to sit in the in that panel as part of our capacity building. You know, they are more than willing to do that, and so on. I think we'll guard against not having an expert who may have a conflict or interest in the industry. It's for that reason that we're looking at using the ITU or the UPU as the institution that we can source such capacity to assist us, you know around some of the issues, because they've got vast experience around data and what is happening elsewhere in the world, which I think we can learn from and also improve our system as we move along, as we implement it. I think I do take the point that we need to add a column on the timeframes. I think we welcome that point. I will add that that column, that they must be clear in terms of, you know, the honourable members, when they look at the performance, they're able to measure it against time frame that you said you're going to do this by this time, and then you didn't do it, and so on, and what is the reasons for that. So we welcome that. We'll be able to add those time frames and remove them from the objectives themselves, as it were. So thank you, Honourable Chair.
That was the end of the first round in terms of questions. Members, do we have other questions? I can ask my question, taking from your previous presentation. One issue which was raised originally, which I'm also interested at, is that you indicated that the panel will be appointed through a public process. What does that mean exactly, practically? What public process? There are many public processes. Just to clarify the process itself, I've seen that we have taken on board what the committee raised about the role of the NA in the panel itself. It was original, the NA were part of the panel. Now I've seen that we have removed NA so that they were able to objectively look into that, so that we are not ourselves sort of being conflicted in terms of the actual process and so on. The other issue which the committee raised at that time was that will this performance management system be linked to CONASIS? There was that question. I'm not sure whether now we have cleaned it in such a way that it does not project that is done for CONASIS, but it's done for people, because when you are appointed, you have to perform and be paid accordingly, whether bonus or not. Performance must not come because of bonuses. Performance must come at the first instance in terms of the responsibility which you take as a council. Whatever comes is secondary and so on. There was that issue which was raised. I'm not sure whether now we have managed to delink to a certain extent so that we don't see this system as a system which just to award bonuses, as if people, they just come there and be paid not to anything, and then only when they perform, and then they get bonuses. You must just get that clear, that even board members or whoever is appointed, first and foremost, you perform your primary responsibility, which you are paid for every month. Bonus will be something else. Maybe some other time it will be another process which deal with the bonuses and so on. But the other issue which was raised, I think was raised by Dilil at that time, Honorable Dilil at that particular time, the one of the role of the NA and so on. But I think those are the questions which we just want to get clarity to that. And the issue of conflict of interest, you see, for me sometimes this mechanical way that you recruit yourself, that, and so on, to me, it does not make sense. I know most of our legislation contains that, but for me, it does not make sense to recruit myself and then Honorable Ndabeni and Honorable Van der Berg, they take a decision, I'm not there, next time is them who recruit themselves. I must take a decision on their behalf to a certain extent. But if we can clarify the issue of trying to remove the conflict of interest in the panel itself. I'm raising that because I'll assume that you need people with the expertise in the sector. And the likelihood, most of the time, people with the expertise in the sector, they might be active in the sector. But I'm just trying to understand how to handle that particular matter, or you go for retired people from the sector and so on. But exactly, just to build the conflict of interest so that it does not become a gray area as it normally does when we deal with this matter. The last one has been raised. It was the issue around this objective, the outcome which we are talking about here. This is what ICASA has submitted for their strategic plan. Whether are they in line, because they reduced there. There seem to be many here. I'm not sure. The alignment of what they presented as the strategic plan before the committee, which we have just finalized last week, and the one which I hear, the realignment of the two, because it means there seem to be additional ones which they have not prioritized at that particular time and so on. I hear that one has been, Councillor Sosikwa was talking about one for the consumer something. That one you want to drop it and so on. But if you can get clarity exact, which one are standing in relation to what you have presented to us as your key strategic plan, and so that we align it nicely and so on. So those are the questions which I just said. Members, any other question, you can respond.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think just to deal with the question on the public process that will be undertaken, perhaps I think we need to be explicit in the document around the public process. Our thinking is that we should do what you call for nomination in a national newspaper, whereby people are going to be nominated to be in that panel. Then the minister will be the one that looks at that panel, at the nominations, and then look at the suitable people in there, which therefore needs to be forwarded to the National Assembly, you know, as it were. So perhaps I think we just need to be explicit in terms of the process itself. You know, that's the question that the Honourable Chair is asking. Then we can do that. You know, as it were, in terms of how that is going to be done. The PMS in here, that was the difficulty around whether what is this thing PMS for? Do you use it to pay a bonus, or what is it? You know, as it were, and I think we came to a conclusion, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, that firstly, the councillors and the chairperson have got a responsibility as entrusted by the constitution of the country in terms of discharging that responsibility in terms of the ICASA Act and the ECA. So we delimit completely the issue of the bonuses from this. It could be that when the evaluation panel make recommendations, they can make a recommendation that says that there must be a performance bonus that needs to be. So we left that to the panel and also to the National Assembly and the minister to make that determination. We do not want to put it as a bonus mechanism, but we put emphasis in the main around personal development plans for each and every councillor. So that they are able to, you know, do their work effectively, so that there's efficiency and effectiveness on the functioning of the sector in general, as it were. Chair, we have delinked the issue of bonuses from that issue. I think the issue of the conflict of interest is a difficult one. You know, obviously, of course, that's why we have opted to look at a retired judge. to look at the Auditor General, because they don't have any interest in the sector, as it were. Perhaps I think with the experts, we may want to look at maybe people who are not active, active at the moment in the industry. You know, yeah, then we can remove the consultant part. Not necessarily, you know, active, you know, in that sense. Organized labor and civil society groups, not labor, organized civil society groups, consumer groups. They've got interest of the consumers. I think the emphasis in here, there's an issue around consumer protection issues that you need to have somebody that for that. So perhaps I think to deal with the issue of the conflict of interest is to look at people who are not necessarily active, you know, in the industry currently in terms of performing certain tasks and consultants. I think we'll need to remove that. So that we don't do what the chair is saying, to say you recuse yourself when decision is made, so that, you know, they're able to have an objective view around what needs to be done in a certain way. I think the question, Chair, around the objectives and alignment, I think ICASAL can give the committee that assurance. I'll hand over to the chairperson of ICASAL to talk to the issue around whether the objectives that we are presenting are aligned with what they presented to the portfolio committee. Chairperson of ICASAL.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, the current document is fully aligned with our presentation that we did the last time. What we have done is that we have removed some of the deliverables. You know, we in the previous document, we used to have 60 targets that the ICASA Council needed to meet. Right now, those targets have been reduced to 53. Over and above that, we have agreed with the DOC on some of the targets that will be shared jointly. For instance, in the area of broadband, most of those are shared with the DOC. In the area of spectrum, most of those are also shared with the DOC as well. So basically, we have, yes, reduced from 60 targets to 63. And therefore, this document is realigned to the previous one and also to our prioritization. Thank you.
Thank you. I see no other hands. You see, people, when they were giving credit about the document, they were giving the credit to ICAS. But it's DOC who submitted the document. Not ICAS. So maybe in conjunction with ICAS. But the credit must go where it's supposed to go. DOC and ICAS in terms of making sure that the documents is available on time. So members, I hope this will conclude our engagement on the issue of the PMS. Honorable Fanebra?
Just a comment, Chairperson. We must be very, very scarcely nowadays with compliments, because I don't think the Department of Communication and ICASA can handle all those compliments. Genuine.
thanks, Honorable Van der Berg. We are concluding on this matter. But we'll embark. I'm sure members are now satisfied about the briefing and the approach which we are taking. I'm sure we'll enter the formal process where we request the minister to formally table the document to the Speaker of Parliament, because it must be then formally referred to the committee by the Speaker. And we must deal with that document as a committee and then recommend to the National Assembly. Upon adoption by National Assembly is when you have the document adopted to start your processes. But for now, we wanted to clarify ourselves so that we understand the elements which are there, so that we don't delay that formal process. But I'm sure we will communicate with the minister, or you can also do that. That the document formally must be presented or forwarded to the Speaker of Parliament, Speaker's office. Then formally will come back to us, and then formally we recommend to the National Assembly the course of action.
around this particular matter upon adoption by the National Assembly, and the National Assembly adopted the document, and you can proceed with the adoption which you require as DOC and so on. Thanks very much, DOC and ICASA, for the presentation and also adhering to forwarding the document in time. We try to deal with the document which arrived late. I've got a meeting from the committee members. I'll repeat that. Any document which is not going to comply with the time, we are not going to engage in those documents. It's either you'll go back or we'll have to cancel that meeting. The document must be on time. So there will be no more sympathy in terms of trying to accept documents which have not complied with that. I'm sure it's something which you must internalize. I'm just raising it because DOC, you are here. And are your entities which you must submit documents. We'll firstly hold you accountable and then go to the entity why they are not submitting their thing in time and so on. So if you can be able to help us around that, I will be grateful. But thanks for showing the way in terms of submitting this document. Thanks very much. We are done for today, and then we'll wait for the formal processes of a submission of the document and so on. Then we'll take it from there. Thanks very much, Acting PCG and your team. Post Office B. You see, it's Mr. L. To wear a tie which is similar to mine does not mean that we'll go scot free today. No, let's get the issue of the post office bill. But members, on the issue of the post office bill, we don't have a formal presentation. I hope members, they do have the document circulated to them. Because it's circulated almost same time with the one for the DOC. If members they don't have, I'm sure there should be extra copies, which that. Maybe before members we go into the documents, I need to explain that the final day for the bill for formal deliberation will be Wednesday next week. Next Wednesday, we are finalizing the document. And in finalizing that document, it will mean that after this meeting, we might not have a leeway of making any other changes because they must go and clean the document. In terms of what transpired today. Next week when we meet, we just deal with the formal process of adopting clause by clause until we finalize the entire document. But the document which we have now is the document last time when we met, DOC did two things. One, they presented a document which was incorporating the New Companies Act. The document you have now is the one which is also incorporating the changes which will come as the introduction of the New Companies Act, which now has been already, now is formally in place, is a legislation. Secondly, they explain the issue of concurrence in relation to the PFMA. Currently, what is happening in terms of what are the provision of the PFMA. So they dealt with those two issues sufficiently. All what we need today around those issues is a decision of the committee. The last issue which was a bone of contention was the issue of the selection committee, where in terms of the ANC submission was that there was the issue of must or shall. You remember originally the document was saying the minister shall appoint a selection committee. The ANC proposal came with May, that when necessary or the minister would exercise his or her discretion whether to appoint the selection committee and so on. Parties, I remember in the last meeting, they make an undertaking that they are going to go back and engage on this matter so that they were able to finalize. That's why I'm highlighting those issues, because those are the issues where we need decisions so that administratively the document can be go and cleaned and so on, be forwarded to yourself in time, so that by next week when we come to the formal processes, we have seen the document. Sometimes I've learned also that some of these bills, they reach the final stage and only to discover that some of the changes have not been incorporated. So we also need that time that we finalize today. At least we've got a day or two to go through the document so that we see from this side whether everything which we set as a committee must be there is there, so that we don't get the shock of our life. Some bills have also passed the formal stage and only discovered when they are about to be tabled in the House that some of the changes all which have been dealt with were not incorporated and so on. But I don't doubt the capability of this team that they've managed to incorporate everything which we've been raising as a committee and so on. But we still have to go back and check whether everything is there. So, members, I will take you through the clauses which we're supposed to finalize. The insertion of the clauses in terms of the new Companies Act we agreed upon last time when they presented are not the issue which are coming up now. You've got that on page 5 of the document. You've got clause 5B on page 5 of the document is 3-5B starting from page 4 to 5, where currently it says B, I'll just read B, shall not have the power to perform the following acts without the approval of the minister. Originally, it was granted with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. So the current proposal by the ANC is that we must remove the concurrence and leave the minister only. So 5C will be the same argument around the issue of removing the concurrence. On page 7, section 8.3, again there is the issue of a concurrency which was proposed to be removed by the ANC submission. 8.3. On page 10, you've got 12.2, section 12.2. 12.2 contain the issue of must or may. We need a decision there today. Those are the clauses which remain mostly contested around the concurrency and the minister itself. So if we can go through that, we'll be having the document ready for formal deliberation. I will start about page 5, 5B, 3, 5B. Honorable Michael.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I must say I don't remember may and must being such a problem. May is good enough for me in the appointment of non-executive members of the board, because I trust that the minister is appointed to make those kind of necessary calls. And I think May is quite indicative that he probably would in any event. Chair, our biggest problem has always been and remains the removal of the Minister of Finance. What I've done in the interim is I've spoken to various members of the Treasury as well as spoken to the DA Finance Committee, and we remain of the opinion that it is of absolute importance that the Minister of Finance is consulted with, especially in issues with the distribution of shares and that kind of thing, because it simply is state-owned entities, etc., like that. And especially in section B, let me just find the section here. It's 3. Hold on. Now everything is sort of messed around because of the. If you go to page 5. middle section B, it's highlighted in yellow, shall not have the power to perform the following acts without the approval of the minister. And then now we want to take out granted with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. Chair, I think it's quite disturbing that in a country where we claim to be completely accountable and we continuously fight any form of corruption, and in actual fact in the President of his State of the Nation address spoke about corruption being the scourge of our country and how all institutions, their primary duty is to fight any form of corruption. I think that it's too much pressure to put on the Minister of Communications, who is not a financial expert, to have these, the concurrence of the Minister removed at all times. It's something I simply cannot understand. The explanations that have been given to me I don't think are good enough, and especially after having consulted with various people in Treasury as well as in my own party, I must maintain the DA's position that we would prefer the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. It's not as if the Minister of Finance is making the final call. He's being consulted with. And let's face it, in a government as big as ours and in a government as complex as ours, the more consultation, the better. The one excuse that was brought up, which I did take into consideration, was that it creates a hindrance and it creates a slowdown of the process if the Minister of Finance is continuously having to be consulted with. This, in fact, was cleared for me quite quickly, that it simply takes a letter sent to the Minister of Finance and the answer can be given within a period of 48 hours. So that particular argument just simply doesn't wash with us. And I think for safety's sake, the concurrence of the Minister of Finance remains of utmost importance.
Honourable Van der Weg.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to add to my honourable colleague Michaels. As I remember correctly, as the attorneys always say, my recollection of affairs or whatever, I remember that day, I think it was in the Good Hope Chamber, the Honourable de Lange made a huge lot of statements about the security in this. For instance, when we talked about the post-bank bill and everything, to have everything in place just to make absolutely sure no one gets his fingers in the till. I'm not saying that Mr. de Lange said that, but you understand what I mean. So there must be a lot of regulations. Not that we don't trust people or whatever. That's not the case. But just to make absolutely sure. Because we all know, in a lot of the state-owned entities in the past, there was corruption. And this is just to make sure, we just want to back ourselves and make sure that nothing goes wrong. So I can't understand why the ANC, as the Honourable Chairperson just said, they have changed certain ideas. Why they did it. And from the beginning, we were absolutely sure that the ANC also wants this reassurances in the bill to make absolutely sure. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Ketan.
Yeah, Chair, this is for my own for the good of my own understanding. I mean, the way systems, you see, this argument about corruption doesn't just apply to communication. In my own understanding, it applies to all ministries. So as a result, if you're using this principle, then all ministries must consult with finance. I don't know why specifically. My understanding is when cabinet meets and ministries present, the Minister of Finance is there and due oversight is done. He can check that processes and mechanisms have been followed and the security thing on corruption is there. But I don't understand why it should be with a specific Minister of Communication, because also other parastatals can be corrupt and other ministries can be corrupt. But I thought the boiling point where everything is put into one point to cook is there in the cabinet, because the finance ministry and all the mechanisms there will be put into place. I don't know. This I'm saying is for my own understanding of how we work. Communication. When corruption can touch all ministries. I mean, it doesn't have a brother and a sister, it goes, it cuts across.
Ndabeni? Maybe before Ndabeni comes in, we're trying to work it out, what will be the best mechanism, because clearly one way to resolve this matter is to vote on the matter, then we are done. But that's not the way we're trying to move towards resolving this matter. I'm trying to check whether, because the problem here, I think, is that it's too tight for the Minister of Communication, that he or she must, in concurrence with. But why don't we go to a formulation which is lighter, which will say after consultation with the Minister of Finance, which is not tied as in concurrent. So that's what I'll try to throw in, that the Minister can take us in after consultation, which is not as tied as in concurrent with. So, but maybe parties will like us to engage on that. Because if we pass that one, then you look me like you want to say something. No, I'm just trying to get something which will make us to move towards each other than having these two positions. I'm not sure. Can we break just for 10 minutes so that parties can just engage on that and see whether we can find a solution? And we'll convene in 10 minutes time.
better because we are here. The fourth, if there is anything going to change. Thank you.
on the roof. And I'm not in my office. There's something wrong with your book. No, I just saw a wedding status of this. Bevel. Hey? Oh, I didn't read it. I should have read a newspaper. Oh, yeah. Is that the same dude that was an idol? He used to be annoying, yeah, I remember that. And grow hair. No woman answered anything. But now I was wondering if you're okay or...
Members, we must reconvene. There is no harm in finishing the committee meeting early. But I was just waiting the legal people to work out if the suggestion will be accepted, what will be the new rephrasing of the clauses. Are you done with the rephrasing of the clauses? Or you still need some time to do that? Because it's not an easy, simple, straightforward of just inserting. It requires some changing in the wording of the clauses themselves. Are you done or you are still busy with that? Okay, so you have your 2 minutes. so that we can finish. I can see the interaction between post office and the members. That's very good. It should happen more often. But it must not hijack the meeting. why post office you don't like PA? Maybe we must explain why you don't like.
We I heard that DA is thinking about the post office in that way. We actually heard.
Can parties reflect out of that discussion how to move forward?
Thank you, Chairperson. The ANC has agreed with the proposal made by Honorable Michael. I think, I'm not sure it was yourself or Honorable Michael, that, yeah, both of you, that we remove the concurrence but put after the consultation with the Finance Minister.
Thanks, Honorable Davin. I'm not sure, you have to guide me, whether we want that to happen, because I know that there should be changes on the closing. But maybe you can just take us through in terms of how it's going to read, if you put the after consultation. The second way of doing it is just to request you to go back and replace concurrence with after consultation. Members, you can guide whether I want them to take us one by one now, or you want them to go and effect the changes. But those changes will be circulated also to you and so on. Honorable Kekan?
Yes.
Thank you, members. So we are done. There is no clause which is in dispute. All the clauses are agreed upon. We are going to wait for next week for formal deliberation. Honorable Fandora?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to find the correct place with a mention, you know, vacancies must be published in two newspapers. Can you just help me to find the space? It's just an idea. You know, sometimes I think, yeah, 12, for the purpose of appointing the non-executive members of the board, the minister must, by notice in at least two newspapers and the Gazette, invite interested persons and. So my idea is just to make absolutely sure that we reach the people we want to reach. For instance, say at least two national newspapers, for instance, in two different official languages in South Africa. This is only a suggestion. Otherwise, you know, it can be easy, you know, just take two newspapers and maybe they're locally. But just to make sure that they're national and they can reach a lot of people. I think that is very important. For that instance, I think it's very important. It worked very well in the past when the SABC have live reads in their different studios, just to get the message to the people. That's very important, because not all the people read newspapers, sir, in some of the rural areas, but they listen to the radio. And SABC radio, all the different stations, they reach, for instance, 28 million people per day. And if you can reach that people, otherwise you exclude. Only a suggestion. Thank you, Chairperson.
You see, I raised that matter myself, and I didn't get a support today by the committee when we're dealing with this clause, because I said it seems to defeat the government purpose of establishing community radios, community print newspapers, and so on. But when we come to legislation, we limit to national. But you see, no one wanted to listen to me. Then I accepted that as one of those things of being defeated on what you wanted to deal with those things, because it could not make sense to limit to national and so on. But I then say, nevertheless, the committee at one point will call DOC and its entities to come before us and demonstrate how are they utilizing community radio, community print media, so that we see that they are in sync or in line with the government policies and so on. But there was no one helped me. I raised it when we were still vigorous engaging on both Post Bank and this one. But it's like members, oh, no, no, it's a standard. That's what they say. No, it's a standard clause. So that's how it went with my standard clause and so on. But I think for all, I think DOC maybe must be the department who must take a lead in terms of how do we engage this other media, level of media, community and so on, moving forward. Whether it's a matter which we can include now on the bill is something else. But it's a matter which needs to be considered seriously. Because that time I was just told that is a standard, that all the legislation or the bills are just reflecting to national newspapers and so on. That was the response I got. And I know now that if you were there, you should have supported me. But because we're not, why we're not there anyway? Because you should have supported me, you see, and then. Okay. So, Papa, that's the situation, ma'am. I think it's something which we must start engage ourselves as members so that it will become our thinking moving forward. How to approach this issue of adverts and other things. Because the real, the national one is limiting. And does not push enough the department to start to recognize the other levels of communication and so on. But I think that we will call upon sometimes DOC and its entities to come and demonstrate how are they utilizing, even how are they using their ad spend, where are they spending their ad spend, as DOC and the entities, as next week we'll be having the advertising industry coming before us to tease us and engage us in terms of the transformation there and how they are handling issues and so on. So we have to do that. Maybe that will help us to move them towards this thing of utilizing all the community, the media which are available. Members, I can see the ANC is thinking very hard. We have set the pigeons among them. So about what we have raised. But I think, members, we are done with the all issues of the thing. There was an issue raised 15 and 16 by post office. We looked to that matter. The conclusion is that 16 is specific for two areas, not everything else. The normal board meetings is the 70%. 75 is only on two issues, a delegation of authority to someone else and so on. So that's where it's applicable, 75. The rest, it means 70% will be applicable for the other party, the decision and resolution and so on. It's not that we have not considered it. We've just looked into it, but we thought that 75% is limited on specific issues, not everything else which needs decision. Any other issue, members? We are done. Wednesday, we've put aside Wednesday for the formal deliberation. Next Wednesday. Next Wednesday. Tuesday will be having the advertising industry. We've just finished it. We started with, but you still have to go the formal process because they still have to formally be submitted to the speaker, refer to the committee, we look into it, then we recommend to the National Assembly and so on. But otherwise, thanks very much, members. So I hope if we can get document in time, always it means our meeting can always finish early. Those members do have time to look into issues. Honorable Darwin?
Chair, I'm not going to drag it, Honorable Trick. Can I just request that the members of the Portfolio Committee remain just for 3 minutes and then ask our guests to kindly leave the room immediately? Thank you.
Thank you. No. DOC, sit down, DOC. No.
Sit down. Tatu Kekan, sit down, Tatu. The committee meeting is in session. And that concludes the business of the committee. You are released.